The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon, King's Features. Question. In my refrigerator, I have a bottle of beer, and in the freezer, a small carton of milk. Either one will wash off poison ivy plant oils, just as they each soothe the fire of hot Mexican peppers. I'm surprised no one else has mentioned these remedies. Answer. Washing the urushi oil resin of poison ivy off with the skin within 15 minutes of exposure is the best way to prevent the rash. Readers have offered a wide variety of strategies for this purpose, including Fels naphtha soap, witch hazel, rubbing alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, jewelweed, or good old-fashioned soap and water. Many readers also recommend over-the-counter products such as Zanfell Poison Ivy Wash or Tecnu Outdoor Skin Cleanser. Yours is the most unusual solution for washing off poison ivy oil promptly. Question. My husband was having blood sugars in the 200s, even though he was taking metformin and cutting his carb intake down to 15 to 30 grams per day. He was becoming insulin resistant. We had bought some cinnamon sticks in Mexico where they are called canela. He ground up some and started taking a 1/4 teaspoon of the powder. His sugars immediately dropped into the low 100s and stayed there. Answer. A review of research on the effects of cinnamon concluded that it is probably helpful together with medication in controlling blood sugar, and that's cited in Clinical Nutrition, ESPEN, October 2018. Question. I sometimes get hiccups right after eating. If I'm in a restaurant, I can't always stop them with any of the tricks that usually work, like a lemon wedge with bitters. One night, our waitress told me of an acupressure technique. She worked as a massage therapist for her day job and had studied pressure points. She told me to pinch the sides of both index fingertips at the same time. This requires a bit of finger gymnastics, but it can be done. My hiccups stopped almost immediately. I've used that technique multiple times since, and it has worked every time. Answer. Thanks for sharing this unusual hiccup remedy. Many home cures for hiccups involve drinking something, sometimes in an unusual posture. For example, to drink from the far side of the cup, you have to bend over it. In a restaurant, you might be able to get an olive to eat or some dill pickle juice to sip. These are other favorites, similar to sucking on a lemon wedge sprinkled with Angostura bitters. Dealing with swimmer's ear. Question. Do you know of any good, safe ways of dealing with swimmer's ear? I can usually feel it coming on, often within a couple of days of clearing out earwax or swimming in a lake or pond. I'd like to be able to clear it up before I need to see a doctor and get some antibiotics. Answer. When water gets trapped in the ear, it can lead to an infection in the outer ear. This is called otitis externa, or more commonly, swimmer's ear. It often occurs after getting water in the ear or injuring it with a cotton swab or fingernail. To tell if the pain is from the outer ear or from the middle ear behind the eardrum, pull gently on the earlobe. This will increase the pain from swimmer's ear, but won't change the pain from a middle ear infection, which is called otitis media. If you have pain from swimmer's ear, you need to see a doctor. Prescription eardrops containing a corticosteroid and an antibiotic or an antifungal agent can clear up such an infection quickly. Prevention is your best medicine, though. Rinsing the ear with a few drops of a solution of half white vinegar and half rubbing alcohol can help dry out the excess moisture after swimming. Question. More than a decade ago, I had a colonoscopy. Not liking the procedure, I chose to use Cologuard at the usual recommended 10-year retest. Both times the tests were negative. Now, 3 years later, I asked my doctor to give me a referral to a gastroenterologist for my next Cologuard. She hemmed and hawed about the use of Cologuard, finally stating that her medical group is no longer using Cologuard because of the inability to correlate the information provided by that test with the outcomes of a colonoscopy. My only option if I want a non-invasive screening would be to use an immunochemical fecal occult blood test yearly. Is this test reliable? Answer: people at high risk of colorectal cancer due to family history of previous polyps should have regular colonoscopies. Other folks may benefit from a fecal immunochemical test. This over-the-counter home test reveals blood in the stool. A study published by the Annals of Internal Medicine in February 26, 2019 showed that such tests detect up to 80% of cancers. From the Mayo Clinic Health Letter, nutritional prehabilitation improves outcomes. Many doctors recommend a health-improving program in the weeks leading up to colorectal surgeries. This process, known as prehabilitation, is designed to optimize your overall health before surgery in order to improve recovery. Numerous studies have examined the benefits of adopting a regular exercise regimen before colorectal surgery. Now new research points to the value of nutritional prehabilitation as well. The analysis published in the August 2018 issue of Gastroenterology looked at 9 studies of people who underwent colorectal surgery. Some had nutritional prehabilitation, meaning they received support such as personalized nutrition counseling or supplemental protein to improve muscle mass. Others followed a more comprehensive prehabilitation program, including nutritional support, anaerobic and resistance training exercises. The researchers found that those who did comprehensive prehabilitation spent significantly fewer days in the hospital after surgery, an average of 2 days fewer than those who didn't do any prehabilitation. Interestingly, those who did only the nutritional component of prehabilitation experienced the same level of benefit. There was also evidence that a combination of nutrition and exercise brought about a quicker return to functional ability. Mayo Clinic experts routinely recommend a number of prehabilitation strategies designed to build strength, improve nutrition, and manage stress before many types of surgery if time and ability allow. Tongue lesions. When to be concerned. Your tongue is a complex and multifunctional organ, allowing for taste, speech, and swallowing. When something goes wrong, biting or burning your tongue, for example, you certainly feel it, but sometimes abnormalities in its appearance can be missed. Lesions can occur on your tongue for a number of reasons. In most cases, these conditions are harmless and often temporary. Still, certain lesions may signal an underlying issue that requires treatment. That's why it's important to know the warning signs. Common lesions. Although they may look unusual, these lesions are common and usually don't require treatment. Geographic tongue. With this inflammatory condition, also known as benign migratory glossitis, white and red patches develop on the upper surface of the tongue. The surface takes on the appearance of a map, but rarely causes symptoms. The condition often will go away on its own. Cause. The cause is unknown, although contributing factors may include stress allergies, diabetes, and hormones. Some experts consider it an oral form of psoriasis, as the conditions share common tissue characteristics. Treatment. Treatment isn't necessarily unless there's discomfort. There's no cure, but topical corticosteroids or other drugs may help control flares. Antifungal treatments may also help. Fissured tongue. With this, small grooves or fissures form on the upper surface of the tongue. Often, there's a prominent fissure in the center of the tongue. It occurs more often with age and commonly occurs with geographic tongue. However, it's harmless and it has been associated with no symptoms. Cause. The cause is unknown. The treatment, good oral hygiene, is encouraged. to remove debris from the fissures to prevent irritation and bad breath. Besides a toothbrush, devices are available to clean the tongue. Hairy tongue. This occurs when the small projections, filiform papillae, that provide friction on the tongue's surface don't shed properly and develop a hair-like appearance as they grow. Bacteria and yeast build up in these projections, resulting in areas that appear black, brown, white, or green. There are usually no other symptoms, but a burning sensation may occur, and it may cause a tickling sensation at the roof of the mouth, or even gagging, as well as bad breath or an abnormal sense of taste. Caused? The condition occurs from a lack of stimulation to the top of the tongue, such as with poor oral hygiene. Other contributing factors include extensive use of antibiotics, excessive coffee or tea drinking, tobacco use, and soft food or liquid diets. Treatment improvements in oral hygiene, including regularly cleaning the tongue with a toothbrush or tongue scraper, will usually eliminate buildup. If it persists, talk to your doctor or dentist about treatments they may help. Median rhomboid glossitis. This type of lesion appears as a smooth red area on the top of the tongue toward the middle to back. The area may be flat or raised and occurs when the normal layer of filiform papillae is missing. Symptoms aren't common, but some people may experience a burning sensation when eating certain foods. Cause: it is thought to be a form of chronic fungal infection on the tongue. Treatment: no treatment is necessary for those with uncomfortable symptoms, and antifungal medication may be prescribed. Lesions to be looked at. Some lesions are unlikely to clear up without treatment or may be a sign of an underlying condition. Others should be tested and monitored for cancer. Lesions that warrant a trip to your doctor's office include oral thrush or oral candidiasis, white patches that occur on the inner cheeks, tongue, roof of the mouth, and throat may indicate a yeast infection, commonly known as oral thrush. The cause? While uncommon in healthy adults, oral thrush may develop in those with a weakened immune system, such as those with diabetes or cancer, and those who are taking corticosteroid drugs. You're at increased risk of oral thrush if you wear dentures, have dry mouth, or used inhaled corticosteroids such as steroid inhalers, or if you smoke. Treatment: the infection is usually treated with an antifungal medication applied to the affected areas for 1 to 2 weeks. Proper denture cleaning and good oral hygiene can reduce the likelihood of an infection. Atrophic glossitis. With this condition, a widespread absence or flattening of the filiform papillae occurs, resulting in a tongue that appears smooth and shiny. Tongue pain or burning is often present, as it is increased sensitivity with acidic or salty foods. Cause: some degree of flattening can be seen in normal aging. However, the condition is linked to certain nutritional deficiencies, such as from iron deficiency anemia, pernicious anemia, or a digestive condition such as celiac disease. It may also be associated with the dry mouth that often occurs with autoimmune disorders such as Sjögren's syndrome and scleroderma. Treatment: treatment focuses on correcting any underlying nutritional deficiency or condition. It may be recommended that you avoid irritants such as acidic foods, spicy foods, or alcohol. Oral lichen planus. This chronic inflammatory condition affects the mucous membranes inside your mouth, often inside the cheeks and on the gums or tongue. It occurs in many forms and may appear as white, lacy patches or as red swollen tissues. If the condition becomes severe, open sores or ulcers may develop, causing pain and difficulty eating. Cause: the cause is unknown, but it may be linked to an immune disorder or triggered by certain medications, trauma, or an allergy in the mouth. Treatment: some forms may not require treatment other than observation by your doctor. Others may be controlled with the corticosteroid medications, Because oral lichen planus can lead to oral cancer, it is important that it be monitored regularly and treated when needed. Leukoplakia. This condition, thick white patches develop on the lining of your mouth and tongue. In contrast to thrush, these patches are typically slightly raised and have a hard surface. A similar lesion may occur from biting the side of your tongue or friction between your tongue and teeth. However, these lesions appear as white lines rather than patches. Cause? The condition is thought to be caused by sources of irritation with smoking as the main cause. Treatment. Removing the irritant may allow the condition to subside, although surgical removal of the plaque may be needed. While most patches are benign, some show early signs of cancer and should be evaluated. When in doubt, if an unusual lesion persists in your tongue or elsewhere in your mouth for more than 2 weeks, see your doctor. In particular, lesions with raised edges on the sides or underside of your tongue may be a sign of the most common form of oral cancer. Also, see your doctor if you experience numbness or difficulty moving your tongue, or have difficulty chewing or swallowing, or are bothered by pain or other symptoms without an explainable cause. Common summer rashes. Beat the itch. With greater time spent outdoors in the summertime comes an increased risk of certain rashes. Here's a look at some of the causes. Poison ivy, oak, and sumac. A type of contact dermatitis occurs from contact with urushiol, an oil found in the sap of these plants. The rash, which may involve red, itchy areas that form lesions or blisters, usually appears within 48 hours of contact. Prevention tips. Learn to identify those plants and avoid them. When hiking, keep your skin covered with long-sleeved shirts, pants, and closed shoes. If you think you've been exposed, gently wash the area as soon as possible with soapy water. Wash clothing that may have touched these plants. Home remedies. Itching can be relieved with oatmeal baths, cool compresses, or calamine lotion. A topical cortisone cream or ointment, or an oral antihistamine such as diphenhydramine, which is Benadryl, also may help. When to see a doctor. If the rash is severe and widespread, or if it involves the eyes, mouth, or genitals, if the rash persists for more than 3 weeks, or if initial treatments are ineffective. Heat rash. This rash, caused by blockage of the sweat glands, leads to inflammation and red raised bumps. It's commonly seen in areas of friction with clothing, such as the upper trunk, scalp, neck, backs of the knees, and insides of the elbows, armpits, and groin. Prevention tips. Limit your exposure to high heat and humidity. Exercise outdoors during the coolest parts of the day. When you venture into the heat or engage in physical activity, wear lightweight, breathable fabrics. Home remedies. Bathe or shower daily using soap and gentle scrubbing. This can help remove the debris that clogs sweat ducts. If your rash is mild, keeping cool may allow the rash to heal more quickly. When to see a doctor. If the rash worsens or doesn't improve in a few days, or if you notice signs of infection. Photosensitivity. For some, a rash may occur as a reaction to ultraviolet light, along with red, scaly, and itchy bumps, which may persist for days or to weeks. You may experience a stinging sensation or a flushing of the exposed area. Prevention tips. Limit your exposure to the sun. When you do go outside, protect your skin by wearing sun protective clothing and applying a broad spectrum sunscreen. Also, check your medication label to see if any are known to cause a reaction to the sun. Home remedies. Apply an anti-itch cream or take an oral antihistamine to ease discomfort. To prevent infection, leave blisters alone. When to see your doctor. If symptoms are severe, widespread, or persistent, if there's blistering, or if you also have joint swelling or muscle weakness. Folliculitis. Hair grows out of openings called follicles. When these openings become infected, it may result in pimple-like lesions that are typically itchy and tender. Folliculitis may be caused by bacteria such as from untreated or undertreated hot tubs, and swimming pools. It may also result from a fungal infection, which is more common in the summer months. Shaving or waxing may cause ingrown hairs, which may result in folliculitis. Prevention tips: ensure that any hot tubs or pools you enter are properly treated. Change your clothing and shower immediately after a workout. Wear lightweight, loose-fitting clothing. Shave with care in the direction of hair growth or use an electric razor. Home remedies: apply warm compresses to the affected area. Shave less frequently or temporarily avoid shaving. Practice good skin hygiene when to see a doctor. If you have numerous lesions, lesions affecting more than one part of your body, lesions that don't heal after a few weeks, or symptoms that recur. Swimmer's itch. If you develop tiny red spots on exposed areas after swimming or wading in lakes, oceans, or other bodies of water, you may have encountered parasites. Sometimes itchy hives and blisters may develop. Prevention tips: stay out of the infested waters. Check for posted signs and avoid marshy areas. If you do enter the water, briskly dry yourself with a towel immediately after getting out. Home remedies: don't scratch. Try cool compresses and anti-itch cream, soaking in a bath sprinkled with Epsom salts, baking soda, or oatmeal. A paste of baking soda and water applied to the skin also may help when to see a doctor. If the rash from swimmer's itch hasn't cleared up within a couple of weeks, causes from concern: contact your doctor if a rash occurs in these circumstances. It covers most of your body. It's painful. It develops on your face or genitals. You develop a fever with the rash or show signs that the rash is infected. You experience swelling. Your skin itches all over. Nothing relieves the itch. If you experience trouble breathing and swallowing along with the rash, seek emergency help. This may be a sign of life-threatening allergic reaction. The Mayo Clinic Health Letter, Adult Asthma. Developing an action plan. You had asthma as a child, but over time the symptoms stopped. Or at least you thought they did until you went to stay at your sister's house for a week and spend time with her calico cat. Along with allergy symptoms that flared up, you started to experience that all-too-familiar shortness of breath and nagging cough. Could something that didn't bother you for many decades suddenly reappear? Excuse me. Asthma can appear at any point in life. For some people, it's a condition that develops in childhood and either persists into adulthood, or, if the condition improved during puberty, sometimes recurs at a later time. For others, asthma may not develop until adulthood. This is often due to triggering factors such as allergies or exposure to environmental irritants such as smoke, chemicals, or mold. The use of certain medications such as aspirin and other non-prescription pain relievers may trigger asthma. Certain illnesses, infections as simple as a bad cold, also may play a role in worsening the condition. Adult onset asthma is more likely to cause persistent symptoms and require daily medication to keep it under control. In addition, symptoms overlap with those of other serious respiratory conditions such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. For these reasons, it's important to have the symptoms evaluated. Irritants and inflammation. Your lungs take in air with allergens and irritants, pollens, dust, smoke, environmental chemicals, and bacteria, to name a few, on a regular basis. Normally, this doesn't cause a problem, but for people with asthma, the airways are more sensitive, leading to inflammation and causing the bands of muscle that surround the airways, bronchial muscles, to spasm and tighten. At the same time, the mucus glands in the airways may be triggered to produce large amounts of thick mucus, which further clogs up the airways. When all this happens, air can't move as freely, causing the signs and symptoms of asthma. These include wheezing, chest tightness, shortness of breath, coughing. Symptoms may be exacerbated by exercise or exposure to allergens. Cold air or an upper respiratory infection also may trigger symptoms for some people. Symptoms may range from mild to severe. A severe asthma attack may be life-threatening. A visit confirming the condition. A visit to your doctor for suspected asthma will typically start with a health history and physical exam. Then the focus shifts to pulmonary function testing. This typically involves a test known as spirometry. For this test, you'll take a deep breath and breathe out as hard as you can for several seconds into a tube that's connected to a device that measures air volume, or spirometer. You may be giving an inhaled medication, bronchodilator, and asked to repeat the test after the medication has had time to take effect. Your doctor can compare the measurements to see if the bronchodilator improves your airflow. If it does, asthma is likely. Other tests, such as allergy testing, may be recommended to determine specific triggers. Testing may also be done to measure how sensitive your airways are, such as by measuring your lung function during physical activity or after exposure to cold air. Medication options. How your asthma is managed depends on the frequency and severity of your symptoms. Overall, medications are recommended in a stepwise fashion. If your current regimen doesn't provide relief, your doctor, after ensuring medications are being taken as prescribed, may recommend stepping up a level of treatment, either with a higher dose or with additional medication. Once you gain control of your asthma for 4 to 6 months, you may be able to take a step down to a lower dose or to fewer medications. Quick relief. A quick relief rescue medication is essential for stopping asthma symptoms before they worsen. If your symptoms are infrequent and mild, or which is intermittent asthma, this may be the only treatment required. Persistent asthma also requires the use of both rescue medications and regular daily medications for longer-term control. Most commonly, the drugs used for quick relief are inhaled short-acting beta agonists. These drugs include albuterol, which is Ventolin, and Xopenex. They're known as bronchodilators because they quickly open the airways by relaxing the bronchial muscles. These drugs are meant to be taken at the first sign of symptoms. They may also be recommended before engaging in activities such as exercise or exposure to an irritant that may trigger symptoms. Long-term control. With persistent asthma, rescue medications just aren't enough. They don't control the inflammation occurring in your airways that produces asthma symptoms. On the other hand, when used regularly, long-term control medications can significantly reduce or even prevent symptoms from occurring. For adults, inhaled corticosteroid medications are the preferred control medications, and examples are Pulmicort, Flovent, and Asthmanex. Dosing of these medications may vary depending on the severity of your symptoms. If you require both an inhaled corticosteroid and a long-acting bronchodilator, formulations that combine both classes of drugs are also recommended. These include Symbicort, Advair, and Dulera. For some, a daily pill may be an option. We'll conclude this next time on asthma, because right now we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it, and I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy.